Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. We are near the end of Jeremiah. Been a long voyage. Jeremiah is an amazing book, Isaiah and Jeremiah. You'll watch for time warps where he jumps from present time up to future events in the end days, millennial time, day of the Lord. And we've just chronicled over the last couple of weeks his 23-year campaign to try to turn the nation of Israel around. And God's had a major, I think, 30 or 40-year campaign trying to turn America around. But it didn't end well for Israel. After 23 years of preaching, and I'm sure Jeremiah was quite weary. You imagine preaching the same thing all the time, Jonathan?
Oh,
you got to stop this. God's going to have you carried off into captivity if you don't just mind him a little bit. Forget all the entire law. Just mind a little bit, he said.
While everybody's glaring and booing and throwing tomatoes and everything else at you.
Lock him up. We don't like what Jeremiah says. Put him in jail. Many times he went to jail, tried to kill him a few times, kill the messenger. If we kill the messenger, obviously the word of God will not come true, right?
Something else has to happen.
Yeah. Or let's lock him up and torture him until he changes what he says. Mm-hmm. Then it won't come true.
Yeah, he's going to force the hand of God.
Well, it didn't turn out well. They're carried away into captivity. And there was a remnant of them left in the land. And they said, then they inquired of Jeremiah to God, tell us what God wants us to do. I mean, we've seen, okay, your 23-year-long prophecies have come true. All of our brethren's been carried away. Tell us what God would have us do. And Jeremiah talks to God. God says, all right, they stay in the land. I'll bless them. If they go to Egypt, they'll die. Jeremiah comes and tells him what God says. You stay in the land, he says he'll bless you. You go to Egypt, you're going to die.
Although you haul charts all around, headed towards Egypt.
So they say, no, you're lying. You're lying. If we stay here, the Babylonians might come back and take us too. We're going to Egypt. We remember stories of how wonderful Egypt was.
Free healthcare.
But God had already told him years and years ago, because another band of them went back to Egypt. He told him, you ever return to Egypt, I went to such lengths to bring you out of Egypt. If you ever go back there, you're going to die. So they said, no, we're going to take our chances because we're really scared of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he might come and take us too. So they hop in their U-Haul chariots and they head to Egypt. So God, with his amazing sense of humor, he sends Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, down to conquer Egypt. So their greatest fear did come true, but not in the way they thought. You cannot run from God.
You thought it was bad what I was saying. What I was doing was trying to protect you from that.
Yeah, but exactly. So now that God has finally punished the nation of Israel for their disobedience, and that's the only sin in this Bible, disobedience. Oh, well, they were worshiping other gods. That's because God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's disobedience. They were stealing stuff. That's because God says, thou shalt not kill. It's disobedience. The only sin in this Bible, disobedience. So he's finally punished them. They're carried away into Babylon. Now, all these other nations that were living around Israel, God was using them to punish Israel all along the way, trying to get them to react in a positive way so that they would start to follow his directions again. So all these different nations God had used, all right, go in and thump Israel. You go in and attack Israel. Maybe they'll start to follow me again. Well, now that his punishment has come down on Israel, even though God had been using these other nations, they were still attacking his children. And that is something we've seen over and over again. Yes, it came from God, but how dare you attack my children? So, his vengeance on Israel is in the midst of taking place. They've been carried away. So now, what do I do with all these other nations that attacked my children? Yeah, I allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted it to happen to correct my children. But they shouldn't have done it. So I'm going to have some vengeance on them now.
And they're in line too, like kind of like a whole thing to where, you know, God does everything evenly. So yeah. Whenever he uses those nations to do the punishing, those nations probably were due some, for some punishment themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Or something. So then he's just looking for the reason for that.
Yes.
So then he comes and he punishes them.
Yes, exactly right.
Right.
Exactly right. Because he had worked with all those nations in times past. Mm-hmm. Chapter 47, the word of the Lord, get the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet. Against the Philistines. Ah, David's arch enemies, the Philistines. Before that, Pharaoh smote Gaza. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood. Now that is not an atmospheric phenomenon happening there. That is an army from the north shall overflow the land and all that is therein, the city and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl at the noise of the stamping of the hoofs of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, and at the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands. Nothing you will be able to do to protect yourselves, you that remain in that land, because of the day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines and to cut off from Tyrus and Zidon every helper that remaineth. For the Lord will spoil the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Captor. And what I do believe he's talking about here was Alexander the Great, because if you go back to Daniel's prophecies, you'll see where Alexander the Great came in after Darius had taken control of the Babylonian Empire. And that's just a few years down the road. And pretty much thumped all of Babylon and took over the entire known world at the time. Baldness has come upon Gaza. That is an explanation of shame. Absolute shame has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? How long wilt thou wound thyself? O thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard, rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge against Ashkelon? How long is this plundering of all these peoples going to take place, Lord? Until it's done, because the Lord has purposed it to be done. When the Lord purposes something to be done, it will be accomplished. Whether it be, I'm going to wipe them all out right here, Moses. Moses says, please, God, don't do it. Okay, I'm going to take 40 years to wipe them out. They're just going to wander around in circles. Mm-hmm. So one way or another, whatever God purposes is mm-hmm. going to be accomplished. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge in Ashkelon and against the seashore? There hath he appointed it. It's going to happen. Nothing you can do about it. Because, though I used you as an instrument against my people for punishment, don't raise your hand to my people. Chapter 48, against Moab. Now this is Esau's folks. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, for it is spoiled. Kiriathaim is confounded and taken. Mizgab is confounded and dismayed. Now remember, several times we have mentioned Moab has a death sentence, because when Jacob came, Esau refused to let him cross his land. And Jacob and Esau never, never forgave his brother. Kept vengeance in his heart. And he came that day to meet Jacob when he was leaving his father-in-law's place. He came to meet him with death in mind. He brought 400 mercenaries with him. He was going to wipe them all out, but there was an angelic intervention there. And you got to look at the book of Jubilees to find that out. And that, believe it or not, was in your Bible till the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
King James says, we don't like that part.
Right.
There's too much supernatural right. stuff in that book.
Right. You know, oddly enough, it was included in the Prince James version
really?
Of the Bible. But the King James Version of the Bible is where the papacy said, no, listen, they can't have that much knowledge because that would set their minds free.
We can't show God as having supernatural influence over the things we do. Yeah, but catch the Book of Jubilees. It really adds to these different stories. Chapter 48, verse 2, there shall be no more praise in Moab. In Heshbon, they have devised evil against it. Come and let us cut it off from being a nation. Also thou shalt be cut down, O madman. The sword shall pursue thee. A voice of crying shall be from Horonim, spoiling the great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. Now God said many, many chapters back and in several of the minor prophet books, Moab, I will cease to exist every man that pisseth against the wall from Moab, from Esau's line. Because not only when Jacob came, he wouldn't let him, he came to kill him that day. And later, when they're wandering around the wilderness, they come across the land, nation of Moab again. They're leaving Egypt. They sent word. Can we cross? We won't leave. We won't touch any crops. We won't touch your herds. We'll leave only footprints. No way. You will not cross our land. That was strike number two. And then later, when the nation of Israel was being threatened by others, they sent word to their cousins, Esau's band in Moab, please come and help us. We're in peril. We'd rather not. We're kind of just fine here on our mountain. Plus, we remember all the bad things that Jacob did to Grandpa Esau. And we remember all them stories, and no, we're not helping you. That's when God says, done. Three strikes, you're out. I will cease you to exist as a people. And like we said earlier, anything that God says will eventually come to pass. It's taken a few hundred years, but it's coming to pass. For in the going up of Leith, continual weeping shall be go, for in the going down of Horonim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives, and be like the heath in the wilderness. Run, 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 like the deer. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken. And Chemosh shall go forth into captivity with all his priests and his princes together, and the spoiler shall come upon every city. No city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord hath spoken. Give wings unto Moab, that it may flee and get away. For the cities thereof shall be desolate, without any to dwell therein. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitful. You see that, Jonathan?
Yes.
And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. So, they were doing the work of the Lord, but in their hearts, they had other reasons to do it. That's what we said. God was using these nations to beat up on Israel as punishment, but they weren't doing it for his glory and honor and his, you know, because he told them to do it. They didn't even realize he told them to do it. They wanted to go in there and plunder and steal and destroy. And cursed be the one that didn't do it when they were told to do it. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. Yes, he had it very easy on his mountain. He hath settled on his lees and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. And that's one thing we see over the years. Moab's just right there on their mountain. Really nothing going on. They're just living every day. Therefore, behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. How say ye, we are mighty and strong for the war, Moab is spoiled and gone up out of her cities, and his chosen young men are gone down to the slaughter, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. The calamity of Moab is near to come, and his affliction hasteth fast. All ye that are about him, bemoan him, and all ye that know his name, say, how is the strong staff broken, and the beautiful rod? Thou daughter that hast in that dost inhabit Dibon, come down from thy glory and sit in thirst, for the spoiler of Moab shall come upon thee, and he shall destroy thy strongholds. O inhabitant of Arior, stand in the way and espy, ask him that fleeth and her that escapeth, and say, what is done? Moab is confounded, for it is broken down. Howl and cry, tell ye it in Arnon, that Moab is spoiled. A judgment is come upon the plain country, upon Holon, and upon Jehezza, and upon Methapath, Mepath. Oh, these names, Jonathan.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. And upon Dibon, and upon Nebo, and upon Beth Dilathahim. Oh, I think I nailed that one.
Yeah?
Beth Dilathahim. Yeah, I did it twice.
Yes, sir.
And upon Kirathium, and upon Beth Gemul, and upon Beth Meon, and upon Kiroth, and upon Bozra, and upon all the cities of the land of Moab, far and near. The horn of Moab is cut off. We talked about horns in Daniel. The government, all of the civic capacity is gone. And his arm is broken. The military might is broken. Saith the Lord, make ye him drunken. For he magnified himself against the Lord. Moab also shall wallow in his vomit. He also shall be in derision. For was not Israel in derision unto thee? Was he found among thieves? Question mark. For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy. Moab was happy over Israel's captivity. Angered God. That was like the last straw. Because just a few years earlier, they were asking for help from their cousins. And the cousin says, nah, we're not going to do it. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in sides of the hole's mouth. We have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceedingly proud, his loftiness and his arrogancy and his pride and his haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, but it shall not be so. His lies shall not so affect it. Therefore will I howl for Moab and will cry out for all Moab. Mine heart shall mourn for the men of Kirhiris. O vine of Sibmah, I will weep for thee with the weeping of Jezir. Thy plants are gone over the sea. They reach even to the sea of Jezir. The spoiler is fallen upon the summer fruits and upon thy vintage. He's just in so many ways here, eloquent ways, spelling out how every portion of their societies is going to be wiped away. Not just Moab, all of the surrounding nations that had any time raised a sword against Israel. Yeah, sure, Israel is being punished and being carried away into captivity, but they will return one day. But in the meantime, God is going to punish all of these other nations that had ever risen a sword against Israel or had refused in Esau's case to refuse to assist the children of Israel. And joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab, and I have caused wine to fail from the winepress. None shall tread with shouting. Their shouting shall be no shouting. From the city of Heshbon even unto Eleah and even to Jahaz they uttered their voices, from Zor unto the Horonim, as an heifer of 3 years old. For the waters also of Nimrim shall be desolate. Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, saith the Lord, him that offereth in the high places, and him that burneth incense to his gods. Therefore mine heart shall sound from Moab like pipes, and mine heart shall sound like pipes for the men of Kirhiris, because the riches that he hath gotten are perished. For every head shall be bald, and every beard clipped. Upon all the hands shall be cuttings, and upon the loins sackcloth. They're going to cry out to their gods, They're going to attempt their religious rituals, and most and a lot of them are Jewish rituals that they don't even realize how to use or how to access God with. Going to shave their heads. Yeah, that's Jewish. When you want to humble yourselves, clip your beards. God never said, he said, you shall never cut yourself.
Yeah.
And put on the loin sackcloth. So they're mixed in all their pagan rituals along with their Jewish rituals. Christianity has done a lot of that. And Christian, you know, God tells you to do something, you ought to do it. I don't care if it's just an intention in your heart and you walk by a homeless man to give him $5. If you don't do it, you're going to get punished for it because God put that intention there. All good comes from God. You cannot, the human body does not have the ability to do good and charity and kindness without the essence spark of God inside.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.